So I'd ask that you, we'll just use this for a few moments. They say that the sound of the bowl or the bell is like the sound of emptiness. The sound of emptiness.
Out to grasp or analyze anything that is a form of attachment, think of that. And we're here to loosen those attachments. So no grasping, no pushing away, just in the moment.
made of 7 different metals that have different tones and healing properties. In Tibet, they're actually used to heal the body. They're placed on parts of the body that are in disharmony. And depending on whether one is trying to draw something into the body, or whether something is trying to be pulled out or extracted from the body, the bowl is circumambulated in different directions. So healing through vibration and sound. Sufis know that very well. Very old wisdom that all cultures know. Palms pressed together at heart, let us say the Sufi invocation given to us by Hazrat Inayat Khan. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And with palms pressed together in this way, silently invoke the presence of all those that have brought you light on your path, that have offered you kindness and wisdom and love and inspiration and truth. Allow your being to be infused and bathed in that presence, and invoke them to be here with us during our time. No pulling, but an invitation, a sort of receptive calling, like yearning. There's a bird that does this chirp, 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 chirp. It reminds me actually of the seed sound of Manjushri, which is D, D-H-I. D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D does this. So I'd asked someone about that bird because it's a very shy bird. You don't see it very often. But its call was like, it was just, it would just never stop. So it's D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D. And I thought, to me, it was really a representation of some sort of longing. You know, it was really calling out in a way, a sweet way. And so I asked the people of the Himalaya region, can you tell me about the bird? And they said, we call it the water bird. And I said, why? And they said, because it cries like that until the monsoon rains arrive here. Mm-hmm. It's like that. You know, yeah. That kind of longing, just nonstop, you know, nonstop. Mm-hmm. So we're working with light, and again, I just want to remind people that may be new to the circle, you know, these practices, they're really like this deep medicine, and whether or not we notice any effect immediately. They have the vibration enters the mind stream and they work on us in some way. And so I just want to say that you may feel incredibly inspired and uplifted, but you also might feel openings to things, or seeing things internally, or recognizing things in your being, and it may bring something else up. You know, you could feel the longing, like the water bird, or a sweet sadness or sorrow that comes up. Last night in our cabin, we were reading from the autobiography of St. Teresa the Little Flower, and she had a passionate love for Jesus, and she embraced her own suffering in union with Jesus. And she looked at that as a great gift. And any kind of self-doubt that would arise in her or question, she considered that a great blessing, and she called that her inner martyrdom. So when those things arise, we embrace them because they're also great gifts. They show us how to be tender with ourselves and with other people. And they teach us this great gift of love, which sometimes also has that, it's not always just passionate burning and bliss. There can be this gentle sort of, you know, longing. I really want to encourage everyone to begin to see every movement as pure energy. Every movement as pure energy, and bring everything to the path. Everything becomes part of that path. And if you see things as pure energy, then they kind of, they infuse you with a kind of life to move forward on the path. So the judgments of good or bad, or I should be this or that, try to quiet that voice and just see things as energy arising. Energy arising. So, if you could just, we've kind of reached a place in this practice where we've turned within, and I'll just, for the benefit of those that were not here, we'll kind of go through the steps that have brought us to the point where we are here today. The focus is on light, and I would like to read the quote that I've begun each morning with by Shahabuddin Suwardi. And it goes, "Hail to the company of all those who become mad and drunk with desire for the world of light. With their passionate love for the majesty of the light upon lights, and who, in their ecstasy, have become like the seven poles of the world." And there's many interpretations of that seven, or those seven poles. But you may think of it as the different directions. I always think of it as almost like a dimensional dorji, which is a symbol for indestructible wisdom. And so if you think of north, south, east, and west, above, below, and then there's that pivotal point in the middle, like the zot, or like that moment before the Big Bang. You know, so one might think of the seven poles in that way. And we're turning within, and we're envisioning an interior landscape in which there's a mountain, beautiful mountain. And if you think of yourself in a meditative position, sitting cross-legged, you are that mountain. Think about that. It's like mountain pose. That's what they call it. And so you feel this interior landscape of a mountain, and these are instructions by Pier Vilayan, and I'm just paraphrasing. And you see rising behind the mountain, you get this indication of the sky becoming more luminous, and you know that there's this moment where there'll be this epiphany of light, and the rays of light will start to burst forth over the top of that mountain. And you allow that light to emerge within your being and fill your being. And as you breathe in and out, you feel the brilliance of that light growing and becoming stronger. And at the same time, we are feeling the light from the atmosphere, our physical environment, and we're allowing our being to become very supple. And we are absorbing the light through the different layers of our physical. First, you know, it's the auric field, the etheric field, and the physical skin, drinking in the light, allowing it to infuse our being at the physical level. And Pure Vilayat sort of gives these words, like the cells are jiggling with light. And so with each breath, we're absorbing more light. And with each inhalation, we're absorbing the light. And with the exhalation, we're radiating. So in a sense, those of you that know the Tibetan practice of Tonglen, of receiving and giving, that's what we're doing. But here these instructions have come through the Sufi tradition, inspired by Hazrat Inayat Khan and given to us by Pir Vilayat Inayat Khan. So the absorption of light and then the radiation of that light. And if you will, as you breathe in, hold for a moment and sort of feel you're like this, I'll just talk for a minute so you can kind of get the feeling. Oh, many years ago, I had been invited to Switzerland to speak at an international conference on technologies, emerging technologies. And I had been invited as a resident artist, but it was this miraculous thing. My interest in science is so strong. It drew me to meet a scientist from China who was working at the project CERN at the time. And the feeling is like this. He took me into the project. I spent some days there with the scientist observing. But they have this superconductor. So they kind of charge this vacuous space up with electricity, and they bombarded particles. I mean, they were trying to find finer and finer levels of energy. And so this is what we're doing. We're sort of, when we breathe in, it's like we're sort of charging up, you know, and the particles are starting to get very active and almost bombard each other. So you can't help but just radiate with the exhalation. Okay, so think of just amping up your powerhouse. You're a solar collector. And in a way, we kind of have to invert our thinking in that, you know, each one of us, just by being birthed, we're an incredible gift to this planet and to each other. And so it's kind of like coming into spiritual maturity, growing up, that we invert this sense of needing to gather and collect, but we start to feel it's our dharmic duty to offer this love, this light, this wisdom. So, you know, sort of turn the thinking of anything that might arise that feels inadequate or questioning or self-doubt. See it as energy, bring it to the path, invert the thinking, remember you're a gift. They call babies bundles of joy. Think of that. We're bundles of joy. Remember that. Don't forget it.
Pierre Vallette used to say,
an image is never tarnished by the images that are cast upon it. And likewise, any impression that has been projected on us, anything that we've been told that has hurt us in any way, any action by someone, no matter how severe, it can't touch that part of you that's that bundle of joy. And the Sufis do the practice of zikr to clear the mirror of the heart. And that means the heart is always pure, but sometimes things do get cast upon it, and we're clearing the dust away. And the light's going to shine from that mirror. So continue with the breath, breathing in, absorbing, and radiating. From Ibn Arabi, remember that light is of two kinds, a light having no rays and radiant light. As for the light that has no rays, it is the light within, in which self-disclosure takes place. And you know, that self-disclosure is that bundle of joy. These are Pierre Vallette's words. Bless you. When you turn within, notice that you sense what seems to be a different kind of light to the light you perceive with your eyes. So just do that much. Feel this. It's not a radiant light. It's a self-illuminating light. It's the light that's always there. Hazrat Anayat Khan calls it the all-pervading light. So sense this subtle form of light that he's telling us, a different kind of light, not one that's perceived with the eyes. Self-illuminating. You know, just part of the path is God realization. That's part of the arc. That's the arc of ascent. But then there's the other part of the arc of descent, which is self-realization. That's what Pierre Vallette's indicating here. That light within that is self-illuminating, self-aware. And if you've studied forms of yoga, some of them take us up that shaft of kundalini, but it's really only half the journey. You have to bring the energy down and radiate your bundle of joy. My friend Karuna Maima told me, she said, "No, Nuria, yoga practice that only takes you up is like climbing to the rooftop with a ladder and then kicking the ladder out. There's no way down. You have to bring the energy down." So when we have our moments of ecstasy and zikr and dance, please take some moments to integrate that, yeah? Let yourself have some silence and let the vibration go very deep. And don't enter into the ordinary mind too quickly. Let the practice do its work. And bring the energy, become the incarnation of that energy. And then, Pirvalayat says, it could be illustrated by a light in a white hole. This is a very abstract thought here. In outer space, which surfaces from subliminal levels of physical reality that we ordinarily call the void of a newborn star. So we're like a void of a newborn star. The mother of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram, Mother Meera, has given these words of wisdom that's like this sentiment. And she says, each new moment brings the possibility of a new dawn. Each new moment brings the possibility of a new dawn. So these practices are helping us to learn to be self-creative, self-aware. Constantly cleaning the impressions, illuminating the impressions. It's like the shadows scatter with the light. Kabriya, you were with the Dalai Lama recently, and he gave an analogy to this. What was that? Can you share it and be loud?
Please, my dear.
Thank you.
His Holiness was talking about the different things that make Buddhism different from other traditions, and also the things that make it the same. And one of the things that is different is this idea of the law of opposing forces. And so he was talking about how if you have a room that is dark and you turn on a light, it can no longer be dark because it's filled with light. And then he talked about how that's the same in ourselves with light, but also with if we fill ourselves with knowledge and insight, then likewise ignorance cannot exist.
So we must be good students,
yeah,
and good practitioners. Think of it. There's that promise. I really believe that's true. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, this whole idea of the white hole and, you know, the void, this is how Ahasuerudaniya Khan interprets that, and Pirvalayat actually was interpreting Ahasuerudaniya Khan. And please, if I'm not speaking loud enough, and if I have my eyes closed, just say, Nuria, please speak louder. Originally, the all-pervading light pulled itself together in a center. Then it shoots its rays, dividing itself as it proceeds towards manifestation. Originally, the all-pervading light pulled itself together in a center. Then it shoots its rays, dividing as it proceeds towards manifestation. A bit like the Big Bang, yeah? Oh, that's nice. It's a fire puja, yeah? You hear it? I asked her to pray for us, and I told her we would pray for her. So she's doing the fire puja, the light. So it's nice that we can be part of that. instructions. As you inhale, draw your attention to yourself, absorbing the light from the stars. Absorbing the light, and it can be from the stars in this whole atmosphere. Everything that's reflecting light to us, we can absorb that light, drink it in, and then hold your breath and turn within, concentrating and identifying with the all-pervading light. And as you exhale, think that you're converting the all-pervading light into radiant light as your aura. So it's like those halos we see in religious icons, or the aura around the Lady of Guadalupe. I think actually there's a candle on the mantle. You can look at that. But she has that radiant aura around her entire being. And that's what we're doing. We're taking in the light. We're holding the breath. We're charging that sort of vacuous space, the void. And then we're radiating. Grasp, just let the sound come to you, whatever shifting's happening in the room, no attachment, no aversion. Just naturally arising and falling back into emptiness. Hasaradhanaya Khan, by concentrating on that light, you can be instrumental in making this all-pervading light manifest as radiant light. So drink it in, absorb it, hold the breath, kind of charge up, and then radiate, shine. My goodness, is it that time already? Our conch blowers are leaving us. Thank you. And so as you breathe in, concentrate on the sacred word Nur, and it's the light that sees. It's like everything has this quality of Nur. It's like the self-illuminating light from within, the light that reveals all things. Nothing's hidden from that light. And then Manaur, which is the light that is seen. Nur, breathing in. Manaur, breathing out. Nur, breathing in. Manaur, breathing out. Become very involved with the practice. It's not passive. You're really absorbing, you're really feeling the absorption of that light, holding, amping up, charging up, and then radiating, shining. And without discrimination, and you use this light to illuminate. We use this light to illuminate ourselves and all situations in life so that we're not confused or deluded. And you know, we have to learn to do this with our enemies, people that we think mean us harm. I was in France during this pilgrimage it took at the first of the year. And I went to visit the place of St. Teresa the Little Flower, and there, above her relics, is Jesus on the cross And he's not nailed to that freaking cross. He is dancing on it. He looks like a dervish. His foot's in that position, and he's ready to turn in ecstasy. It's like that. You know, incredible suffering can bring incredible joy, because then you learn you are not those conditions. If you can grasp this, you'll be totally free, absolutely free, no matter what happens. He understood that. And remember, when he was in his martyrdom, he said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Praying for the one that hurts us. "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." He understood that that was their ignorance. You can't be angry at someone's ignorance. So we shine our light on everyone and everything. And if you feel a contraction and a pulling, you know that that is self-cherishing. And His Holiness the Dalai Lama tells us all suffering is from self-cherishing. And so when you feel your suffering, you shine the light and you start to radiate outward, offering love and respect to everyone. Because, you know, you had the shirt in the Rahman, Namaste. I don't interpret the way I understand, but the divine light in me bows to the divine light in you. And the fact is everyone has that. They may be confused about it and not acting from it, but we don't have to be confused about it. We can still shine our light and love. We don't have to do anything about it. We don't have to fix it. We can just be. And so this is what these teachings are indicating here. Just be. Someone likes you, fine. Someone doesn't like you, fine. I'm shining. I'm not dimming my light. There's no dimmer switch here. I just love you anyway. You don't have to love me back. I don't expect anything. I'm just shining like the sun. Yeah? Someone says something unkind to you, bow and say thank you. Someone wants to criticize you, you say, thank you, I'll take that into consideration. Or, that's an interesting observation. Thank you for taking the time to share that with me and the energy. And you just keep shining, absorbing and giving, absorbing and giving. Make sense? Okay. So can we do that today? Let's practice it. And we'll see. There'll probably be some challenges to that. You know, it's like the contradictions always arise. But they draw us deeper into the practice. Yeah. It reminds us. Wake up. Yeah. And I'll just quote the Dalai Lama again. Because I love this quote, it's like a great reminder. And I'm going to read from Mother Teresa. Can I do that? This is a quote, believe it or not, it's a beautiful quote, a series of things. These are kind of like her little rules. And this is on the wall. Mamma mia. These teachings have their own life. I think some of you know, and I've mentioned it because it was a great honor for me to work with her for just a short time in Calcutta when she was alive. And we actually had some correspondence. It was very sweet, and I'm trying to find that. We've moved and things have gotten shuffled, but I'm sure it's a beautiful thing that should be in proper hands, you know, something that came from her hand with her signature. So, Dalai Lama, think of those that hurt you and harm you as the great guru who has come to teach you strength and courage. Think of those that hurt you and harm you as the great guru who comes to teach you strength and courage. It's an incredible, you know, His Holiness tells us, yes, we must have gratitude and reverence and all appreciation to our teachers who have taught us. But they're not the ones that really give us the opportunity to practice. We have to apply those practices in life. And we have to apply them in difficult times. That is when we're really practicing. And Peer Vilayat used to tell us in retreat, this is dress rehearsal for life. So here's from Mother Teresa's. This is engraved on the wall of the home of for the children in Calcutta. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Get it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
What a great gift. And, you know, she was like that. I mean, you know, she was sent to India. She was with the Sisters of Loretto. And their mission is to educate. So she was sent to India as an educator. She became principal of the school, and she got tuberculosis. She was sent away to Darjeeling for healing and recuperation. And she was riding on the train. Some of you have been on the train in India. It's pretty intense. So anyway, she's on the train, and she said, that was when I felt the call within the call. I knew I had to go and live amongst and work with the poorest of the poor. And she said, I didn't know how I would get there. She had to get permission from the Vatican to do this. So they gave her permission, but there wasn't a terrible lot of other support than that. Some of the young people that had been educated by her came and worked with her and started gathering people from the streets that had been rejected from the hospitals, no means for medical care, and they pulled together money and rented a room and sort of started taking care of these people. And she learned a little bit of medical care, and mostly what they offered was their love. And having worked there, there were a couple assignments I had. One was working at the Home for the Dying. And, it's a great gift to just sit with someone so they don't have to be alone while they're dying, to be a presence. Not everyone wants someone with them while they're dying, by the way. You have to be aware of that. They want to die alone, so there's that other piece. Yeah. So also be sensitive to that. But it was an incredible experience to be at that doorway where the two worlds meet, as Rumi says. But she did this because of her love and her passion, and you know, it wasn't an easy life for her. But I saw her, and you know, I did have little encounters with her. And she was very dynamic inwardly. You could feel this practice that we're doing, this absorption of light and just kind of this radiating out. I mean, look at what she built there for so many people. And that was just her passion and her love for understanding suffering and not being afraid to be close to it. And like St. Teresa, I began with that St. Teresa. She joined in union with her beloved Jesus in her own suffering. So find union there. And to just keep shining, not attachment to any of it, it's just energy arising. Make sense? Does it? If it doesn't, please say something. So what's our assignment today?
Love everyone,
no exceptions, and do whatever it is anyway, right? And we're absorbing, we're solar collectors, self-illuminating awareness arising, radiating out as love. Okay? Thank you so much for being here. Have a blessed day.